baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Bedoten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I recap Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals and preview the game against the Broncos, especially some connections Joe has with the Denver head coach. Joe, I was pretty confident the Chiefs would win Sunday, and that wasn't a knock against the Bengals. They certainly are a formidable squad, went to the Super Bowl last year. But just as I always say, NFL games often are won by the team that needs the victory the most, I've always maintained that it's so hard to beat a team twice, let alone three times in a year, because the team that lost has extra motivation and can break down exactly what they did wrong. But Joe, I'm rethinking things. My dad was at Duke, and I'm a Duke basketball fan, and despite having the best coach, Coach K, and number one overall draft pick, Paolo Banchero, they lost to rival North Carolina twice in a month to end last basketball season. Then over the weekend, USC, and we're talking about that game. They have the top player in the country, quarterback Caleb Williams, who has Mahomes-like qualities, by the way. And USC lost twice to Utah, and that game had no ramifications for Utah, and USC desperately needed it to make the playoffs. And then, of course, the Chiefs, with their we have the best player, Mahomes, best coach, Andy Reid. They lose to the Bengals for the third time in the 2022 calendar year. Joe, is beating a team twice or three times no longer such a feat like I had in my mind, or are all these anomalies?
You know, Jeff, that's a great point, and you really bring up some incredible points. And
I was ruminating for a long time. I was like, this has been in my mind as you can
tell. Yeah, because you're right. It is. It's really hard. You know, you know, how often do you see in any pro sport, right? Even college, like when there's a series, how often do you really see a team, you know, sweep somebody, right? It's you know, it just, even when a team is even decidedly better than another team, chances are, you know, something's going to happen. A ball's going to bounce one way or the other. And, you know, a team's going to pick up a win here and there. So it's really hard to sweep. And I don't know what it is. I mean, you could say all the cliches you want, that the Bengals have their number, that there's something in the playbook that the Bengals are onto. Or do you just chalk it up as, you know, this was just one of those games with two really good teams who whoever was going to have the ball last, you know, and who was going to hold on to it last was going to win. I think we said that last week. I think we knew it was going to be a close game. I think both of us said it was going to be a 3-point game either way. And you know, it was funny because my prediction was, a lot of my predictions throughout the week were 30-27 Chiefs. Like, that's, I kept saying, and I kept thinking, oh, well, if the Chiefs score on this drive and then the Bengals do get the ball back, I'm talking about on the drive with the Kelce fumble, then it's 31-20. And then, all right, Burrow, give him the benefit of the doubt that he could score, you know, a field goal or get a touchdown. And my prediction would be darn close, right? 31-27 instead of 30-27. But man, that fumble just put such a kink into things, right? And Travis is so trustworthy with that football. And I think that was, there were a couple of plays down the stretch. Obviously, it was that play. And then it was, even though Patrick would have had very little time left, which for him, we know 13 seconds is not even a little time. If he would have gotten some that ball back, and that it was that, what looked like it was going to be a sack, and you tweeted about this. I don't understand what happened on that last play and why Burrow didn't get sacked, and what, I haven't seen a good enough camera angle to why, how Burrow got that ball off on that last.
You're talking about the third and 11.
Yeah.
Converted, which was like, they had good pressure. They had good coverage. It was I don't know how he kind of got that off either.
It was a great play by him. And I'm not trying to take it. I'm not trying to take the play away from him by saying, how did he get that off? Like, he's a terrible player. And, you know, he's a really good quarterback. I just don't understand why it wasn't a set. Like, how, what something physics, there was something off with the physics of the play. Because when you see the Chiefs defensive line kind of give up, and here's the only thing I'm thinking is nobody wanted to get a roughing the passer at that
Yeah,
point.
I'm wondering
You
about that
know,
too.
and were they playing, you know, was that defensive line at that particular moment playing a little hesitant,
Because they had
right?
the previous, they have a stalwart, they did get the unnecessary rough. So that's very possible, Joe, that was in the back of their mind, and the way they not only have that in the game, but of course Chris Jones has had been called for that unfairly, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that was. Joe,
So
oh, go ahead.
those were two things that's maybe not the most obvious of things. Well, I think the fumble's pretty obvious to most people that it was a turning point. But
Only
that
turnover of the
particular
game. Yeah, I mean
only
that.
turnover of the game, Travis Kelce's first of the whole year, I believe, right? If I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
And you know, my God, he's so sure-handed and so, like I'm gonna use that word again, trustworthy with the ball, even in the midst of his yak, right? His yards after catch. He's just so solid in that, just that he got stood up and that guy was just ripping at it and he made it happen. And I think that was, that to me was, I think to me that was really the true turning point of the game.
Totally, totally. Joe, back to my question about it's just beating. It's weird. Like you never used to see that, just teams getting swept or beat three times like this. Were you on that Chiefs team that beat the Raiders three times, including the playoffs? Or was that before your
That
time?
was, yeah, that was 1991, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. And we had to beat them. We beat them to get into the playoffs, right? We had to beat them on the last game of the year. And then if we beat them, then we played them again.
So take listeners through, I mean that how like did it seem harder to keep beating the Raiders? Because you're again my point that the Raiders are able to correct their mistakes, or they're so anxious to beat the Chiefs, they have so much motivation. Or is there something like you guys just figured like you just were so confident, and maybe the Raiders were so lacking in confidence. I'm just again curious about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think when you take each individual game by itself, you of course say, well, we're going to win this game, right? We're going to prepare, we're going to study, we're going to put in the best plays in our playbook for this particular team. We're going to match up, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to get the right rest, we're going to have the players, most players healthy, and we're going to go win, and whatever our situation is, we're going to win this game. Every team goes into every single game like that. I liken it, Jeff, to flipping a coin. And how hard it is to flip a coin and get the same result three times, four times in a row. And each time you flip it, it's still 50-50, right? It's still a 50-50 chance each time. But each time you flip it consecutively, the odds get worse and worse and worse till it becomes almost minuscule that you're going to be able to do it multiple times, right? I kind of look at it. That's why I get nervous about playing a team a third time and not having won, no matter how bad they might be. It's like flipping a coin. You just know that something could happen, or it just doesn't seem right mentally, emotionally, that you're going to win again, again, and again, and again, and again, that something's going to go wrong. That's going to put you in a bad situation. That's going to cause you to lose this game. And for me, it kind of comes down to that Travis Kelce fumble, not to pin it on him. Look, the guy's he's the arguably the best tight end of a generation. So I'm not sitting here blaming him. I'm just saying
Totally.
I'm just going to call it the fumble, not Travis's fumble, but the fumble, because that could be any. Could have been any of us. It's just that, like, something like that needed to happen, I think, for the Chiefs to lose that game, and it did. I think I
I
even
think
said.
whoever made, they said when the coaches said before that halftime, I think it was the Bengals coach, we needed a turnout. I think whoever made the turnover was going to get make the other team was going to win the game, whether it was the Chiefs or the Bengals.
Yeah.
That Raiders game, do you remember, like, long ago it was 91, Joe, you were correct. Do you remember thinking how your mentality going into that third game? Were you like a little bit leery because it's like, oh, God, can we beat these teams again, these guys again? Or were you supremely confident.
It's just like any, it's just like anything in sports, Jeff, to sweep somebody in a tight time frame, right, is so hard. And that was even a tighter time frame, because at least the Chiefs had an off season between the last one. That was 3 in 1 season. How much was changing in a season? And very little changes, unless you, of course, if you have dramatic injuries or, you know, some coaching change or something. But none of us had any of that. Everybody was, it was the same team 3 times.
October 28th, December 22nd, and December 28th. You beat the Raiders. That's nuts.
That's the game that scared me the most. The playoff game is the one that scared me the most, because, you know, with the time between the first regular season game and the second regular season game, you know, the time can heal some things, right? As far as that feeling, it's kind of like, you know, a Major League Baseball series, you know, the World Series. It's really hard to sweep somebody, right? Like if you're playing, you know, 7 games within 2 weeks, right? Because you just, like I said, some you just felt like something could happen that maybe didn't happen in the game before. A block punt, you know, somebody gets the flu, you know, somebody gets hurt during practice, like something weird, you know, that all those things can happen in during a game and increases your chances of getting that sweep. So, yeah, I was more worried, to be honest, about the third game, and especially since it was so close in time. That, you know, that's what really, really had me worried. And, you know, Jeff, before it gets out of my mind, you know, one thing I think that is, you know, worth talking about was, you know, was I think, and, you know, the last thing we ever do on this show is talk about like pointing out players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or trying to be critical, overly critical of, it's just not been, it hasn't been our nature. And I think we also do sometimes, you know, we'll try to be more praiseworthy, right? Or do things that are more for players who are more praiseworthy. I thought Nick Allegretti did a fantastic job in this game. I gotta say, Jeff, something is wrong with Orlando Brown. I don't know what it is, because I was just disappointed on that last play of the Chiefs, you know, before they tried the Butker field goal. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about his pass sets or what's going on. There's just something missing in Orlando Brown's play right now that is, you know, I don't know whether he's hurt or he's playing hurt or something, but he just does not seem like the same player. And that is, again, probably the third play that I think had such an impact on the game was Patrick getting sacked.
Totally.
I don't know. You add a couple of yards there, and it's a 50, you know, it's a 53 yarder, 51 yarder, you know, like it's, I think it's a different, and maybe if he doesn't get sacked, maybe they actually go for it.
I agree with you that those are, you nailed it, Joe, the three big plays, the fumble, the 3rd and 11 conversion by Burrow, and then that sack. And, you know, I didn't love, the going for the Butker field goal, not only because it was far, but it's like when the teams play the Chiefs, you have to be aggressive. You have to think you're going to have to, that the other quarterback is so good, he's going to score a touchdown. And I think the Chiefs kind of needed that aggressive mentality. Even if Butker makes that field goal, I think that, you know, the Bengals score.
Yeah, but see, what plays into coach's psyche, though, Jeff, is things like that pressure. And well, it was not even a pressure; it was technically a sack, right? I mean,
right.
Those things play into coach's mind, right? I mean, that's a tough thing for, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid as they're sitting there thinking, do we go for it? Do we kick the field goal? They start thinking about the fourth down at the end or the end of the half in the AFC championship game, right, and not converting. Like, all that stuff weighs on your psyche. You know, you think about those things, right? Our brains are going, and, you know, subconsciously, I think they were probably both thinking, Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, again, not putting thoughts into their heads, but I think they were both thinking, geez, like, let's just put it in the hands or the foot, no pun intended, of a guy who he's been, you know, Butker's made big ones. He's hit from far. The snap was a little off, which was crazy, right? I mean, like they've had perfect snaps. Like, I'm telling you, it took a lot of these comedies of error,
right,
so to speak, in this game for this team. So I'm not, while I'm very disappointed because, you know, I think there was the stuff with the talk and the jabbing, you know, with Justin Reed. And it was like, it was one more thing that the Chiefs didn't need this right now, right? Going into, you know, into the end of the season to try to keep that home field advantage. But, you know, it just, that's why I'm just really disappointed that we didn't get the win. I just wanted it for this team because I think they're better than this. And I think they're better than this loss.
The sack that we were talking about was Osai sacked him for 4 yard loss.
Four.
So it was a third and three on the Bengals 33, ended up being a 47, ended up being a fourth and seven and a 55 yard field goal. So that 4 yards, big difference. And
big difference.
Joe, to your point too, yeah, it is a tough loss to take. The one thing, the Chiefs schedule looks pretty favorable throughout. So
yeah.
If they go 14-3, that's an excellent year. And the one, I think why we're also concerned, it's not only losing to the Bengals again, which is tough to take, but I think it's also because we're looking for home field advantage, right? We want the bye. We want Arrowhead throughout. I still like the Chiefs' chances. Right now, the Bills have the same record, and since because of the head-to-head, Bills now own home field, but the Bills have a real tough – they have to play the Bengals coming up. Not this week, but they have the Jets coming up this week that's tough. They still have to play the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Patriots. So much tougher schedule. So, that I mean, the Chiefs could easily – I think the Chiefs still are actually, in my mind, kind of a favorite to get home field just because of that schedule that the Bills have.
Yeah, I mean, I saw an infographic that showed that they absolutely have statistically the easiest schedule for the remainder of the season. So games aren't played on paper; they're played on grass, right, or turf. But you know, I think that's absolutely going to help them. I don't see, you know, I can't see anybody else in the AFC other than the Bills giving them a run for that. I think they're probably going to be the ones. I mean, since they all have to, you know, they're all going to be beating each other up, right? I mean, you know, the Bills still have, like you said, they still have to play the Dolphins, who were in their division. They're 8-4. The Bills are 9-3. So somebody there is going to have an additional loss. The Bills have to play the Bengals. They're trying to get to win the AFC North. So yeah, so there's a lot of teams playing for stuff. And but like you said, it's pretty much a fact that the Chiefs have the easiest schedule coming up. So it does look pretty good, knock on wood, that this team could finish 14-3, and that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like we're the expectations for this team get so high.
Yeah.
And that's why even
incredible. I mean, like a 17 game season is so long. You're going to have a Kelce fumble. It's as amazing as he is. You're going to have a Bucker missed kick. It's just things like that are going to happen. You know,
they get Patrick a little more protection there. You know, there's a lot of ifs. There's definitely a lot more ifs on the Chiefs side, I think, than the Bengals side. I think the Bengals played a pretty darn almost close to perfect game.
The only, I do too, especially Burrow was great. He had only six incompletions. And I think the only one that the Bengals could point out to of something like that, where you have Bucker missing a kick and the most sure-handed guy. Kelce is the one guy, like, except for Mahomes, if you had like a game on the line, I want that guy. He's not going to make a mistake. So for him to make a fumble like that, the one thing the Bengals did have was that Boyd drop touchdown pass. That was like a guy who's very sure-handed. That was the one. But you're right. The Bengals played a pretty clean game.
They did. It was almost a perfect game. And they only beat the Chiefs 27-24. So at home. So, you know, look, get over it, right? They're going to be back. We're going to, you know, like you said, we have a great chance of finishing 14-3. It gives us a nice opportunity for home field. And then we let the chips fall from there and when it really matters.
Well said, Joe. Well, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. and is your continued source for all sports wagering information. Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always in the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. Joe, I had bet. I was felt so good about my bet of 8 for the Washington Commanders, the under for the Washington Commanders total. That was my bet online bet. But fortunately, they tie. So, the, you know, a tie in this is just like a loss. So I was very glad to see that tie against the Giants. And Bet Online also has the Chiefs favored by 9 points right now over the Broncos. And we're going to get to that. But before, one last thing on this game, Joe, you know, people are wondering, do the Bengals have they found the Chiefs secret sauce? Is there something? My take is, one, the Bengals are a good team, and they have a couple things that give the Chiefs difficulty. They have a very good quarterback in Joe Burrow, an elite number one target, Ja'Marr Chase, that the Chiefs have had trouble with. I think they have a really good front four, and they can generate pressure with that front four and not have to blitz, which is key. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is great against the blitz, and they have a pretty good, their safeties are really good, so they can kind of flood the coverage and mix and match and change things on the back end, not have to blitz. So I think that's part of the reason the Bengals, if they're have been successful against the Chiefs. Do you have a take on this, if there is kind of some matchup deal, or do you think it's totally just these fluky plays? Kelce making a fumble, Tyreek Hill, one of the most shifty guys to ever play, getting tackled, you know, before the goal line in the AFC Championship game at halftime, before halftime, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you start adding them all up, I mean, fluky plays turn out to be your plays and what happens. Right. So, right. You know, I would say that if it were one game, you know, you'd say, all right, well, it was a couple of fluky plays, but the fact that these things keep happening against the team tells me that there's something that this team knows about the Chiefs. And I think you started to really nail it there when you were talking about the front four and sometimes the ability for them to get pressure or to keep Patrick contained when they only rush three. And it was my sincere hope that the running game would help eliminate some of that. Now, I was really, really glad. I mean, we were pretty much 50-50 run pass. Mm-hmm. So I think we had, 25 rushing attempts and 27 passing attempts. So, you know, we were 50-50, and I was really excited to see that. That's going to help the Chiefs down the road. Absolutely. I think that is going to provide the Chiefs a lot of confidence in their running game down the road, that they were 50-50. So I was really excited to see their ability to grind it out too. You know, when, you know, Isaiah and Jerick are averaging, you know, Jerick McKinnon averaged 6.4 yards a carry, and his longest was only 14. It wasn't like he had 100. I say this all the time. It wasn't like he had 100-yard run, you know, and then had three other carries for zero. Right. He had, you know, he grounded out, and same with Isaiah, right? He was averaging 4.7 yards per carry. So that's exciting for me, because I think that's going to come back and really, really help this team when they go back and watch the film and their ability to run the ball effectively. I think that's a good thing, but I really think that this team does match up really well against the Chiefs. I don't think it's the fluky things have caused one or two of the losses maybe, mm-hmm. but I still think at the end of the day, these are two extremely well-matched teams.
We're going to look ahead here to Sunday's Broncos-Chiefs game. Before the season, looked like a great matchup, but now it's a 9-3 team versus a 3-9 team, first place team versus the last place team in the AFC West. Matchup that looks so uneven that it was flexed out of Sunday Night Football for a better matchup. So not a lot to talk about here, but Joe, I want to share your memories. You know, Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett, the son of Paul Hackett, your former offensive coordinator. Tell the listeners about Nathaniel.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm it's one of those things. Even though he, you know, he went to the, you know, or one of our biggest rivals, right? And the Broncos are, you know, like just you think about that, and I think about all the great games that we had against Elway and all the Broncos, Eli Peyton Manning, and you know, all the games that Chiefs remember, you know, playing against the Broncos, and you know, you don't want to see somebody that you have an affiliation with, or somebody that you know you watch grow up go to your enemy like that. But you know, super at first I was just super excited and happy for Nate, as we called him growing up. I know he's Nathaniel now. I guess when you become an NFL head coach, you can go back to your full name. I guess I would be Joseph Valerio, I guess, if I were like Jeff Saturday and they pulled me off the pod to go coach a team.
Just give me a couple, give me like just 24 hours notice at that if you're getting pulled off
Yeah.
the head coaching jobs.
I will. We'll still do the pod, Jeff. We'll
You'll
still
still
have
do
time to record. We absolutely will still do the
the
pod. But you know, it's just watching Nate grow up, and watching his trajectory and everything go through the NFL. It's so cool to see, you know, that familial sort of, you know, for lack of better terms, relationships blossom, right? The way that we've seen. You know, Brian Schottenheimer, right, went on to doing great things, and you know, in his dad's footsteps, and you know, it's exciting to watch and to know that I like watch him grow up, and we'd toss the ball around at the field. He would catch my long snaps, you know, if no one was around and I needed to warm up on the sideline or, you know, at practice. You know, he you know, Coach Hackett would, you know, have him out there, you know, running the, you know, drills and helping out. And it was really fun to see that sort of, you know, thing that you think about. It's like Field of Dreams, right? Like everybody wants to have that catch with their dad or whatever. You know, I loved seeing that. Like I loved seeing family out on the field. You know, so Joe Montana's boys would be around occasionally. You know, they'd be out there, you know, throwing the ball with dad occasionally and coming to practice and whatnot. And it's really cool to see. And you kind of like think about those things. So anyway, you know, Nate was a great kid. He was always there to help. And I think a lot of it, you know, rubbed off. I'm just sad for him. You know, no Chiefs fan's gonna be sad that the Broncos aren't doing well, but there is part of me that's sad that they're not doing well either. Or two, I should say, because I was, Jeff, you and I were so pumped for the AFC West this year, man. Like we were so pumped, and it's just turned out to be such a dud, you know, from a division perspective, other than, you know, the Chargers are showing their life. I mean, I don't,
And
let's,
even they're six. I mean, they're showing life, but they're still on the outside looking at six and
yeah.
six. Joe, do you have any? First of all, he wasn't. Nathaniel was always around, but he wasn't. Like a ball boy or anything, right? And do you have any kind of specific memories that stand out about him?
Oh no, he was definitely one of our ball boys at camps. Like
Oh,
he
really?
was, yeah, even school, of course, when school starts, right? And
Yeah,
camp
right. You
breaks.
can't, yeah.
And you know, the kids have to, you know, they have to be at school. And you know, we were usually out practicing at 2:30 in the afternoon. So you know, but like during the season, he wasn't, you know, on the sideline during practice or anything. But at camp, man, he was there. He stayed with us, and you know, he slept in the dorm with the rest of the staff and the players. And you know, it was just great to see a young kid like that who was so into football, you know. And it was fun to watch him learn from his dad, and we loved it. You know, players love that kind of stuff. You know, they love when players, you know, and we would go see. And one thing I do remember was, you know, knowing that he was going to Blue Valley and going to those games and watching, you know, Brian Schottenheimer and Nate play. Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch. You know, and to see his progression, just because of kind of like, you know, learning by osmosis, so to speak.
And yeah, definitely a Blue Valley Northwest grad for sure. So that's very cool. And I talked to Tim Grunhardt about this, and he said kind of the same thing. He's like, I'm no Bronco fan, but he's like, he likes Nate, and he kind of was wishing for him to do well. And it's obviously an incredibly tough season for him. Who would have thought that after that Russell Wilson acquisition would go so poorly? One thing for fans to watch though, Patrick Surtain, the son of the same named excellent corner, is one of the best in the business. So that is one kind of fun that the Broncos have a very good defensive secondary. But any, Joe, while we wrap up here, any last thoughts of Nathaniel Hackett?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he, you know, how he approaches this game, you know, and to see, you know, what it's going to be like. I mean, obviously, you know, the coaching staff, it's different. I'll be more anxious to see how he'll react coming into Arrowhead on New Year's Day. That'll be probably more interesting. I mean, he's going to be on his home turf at this point, but, you know, this could be, you know, I hate to say this, Jeff, I hate to be sound like a wet blanket, but like, this could be a make or break game for him, right? Even though it is the Chiefs, and I don't think anybody's expecting a win out of the Broncos. If it goes really south, I mean, you just don't know what even a mid-season future might look for him.
It's like a 40-6 type of deal, you know?
Yeah, and if the Chiefs just put it on the Broncos, trying to, you know, sort of beat away this loss to the Bengals,
right?
And they put it on the Broncos. Like it could be maybe the final straw, right? And I guess, you know, I guess watching, you know, what Russell Wilson does and you know what how the Chiefs defense reacts to playing against him. I think that's definitely something to watch. There's not a lot of matchups in this game, to be honest, Jeff. I'm trying to find one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that back end of the Broncos is pretty good, and that might be the one thing to keep you entertained. Well, yeah. If you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.